I just made a fascinating discovery. The story of the Sierra La Man, there, we do get some information from, I can't remember the various sources, but I recall one description has it that the two copper spheres were in the area of where the two headlights of the vehicle are. So they're right in front of them. Now, I just assumed the headlights had been removed and that the spheres were nestled inside of the headlight sockets and became part of the car's circuitry. Namely, voltage potential from the batteries was somehow getting the thing started. But I don't think it's working that way. Now, because that's not in agreement with my experience. My experience is that you need a signal, you need a voltage carrying the signal, but the voltage has to be extremely low. Now, what if... Oh, okay. Now let's go back. I don't even have to say what if, because I'm going to say it right out. More logical, based on fact, instead of speculating first, because that's not... Well, I already knew. So, what if sunlight on metal creates a potential, you know, of voltage? Now, we know it produces that on a semiconductor, because that's the whole foundation for solar panels. The difference is a semiconductor by implication, let's put it that way. When I hear the word semiconductor, that implies an elevated resistance by contrast to a conductor, which is not semi, such as copper tubing, copper sphere, copper metal. Copper metal is known to have very little resistance. In fact, the least economical resistance imaginable, although silver goes even further, but it's not economical. Now, that might be the only reason why the Amon brother used copper for his two spheres and the tubing connecting it to the innards of the circuit that we don't see where it goes to, because as a conductor, it has very little semi to it. It has very little resistance that would result in a semiconductive status to it. And so when the sunlight hits, or any light, because now when light hits the metal, it creates a voltage, a potential, but very little because it's so conductive. And that's exactly what we want. Now if he had an oscillator in there, now he's got himself a pure... And how hard is that, right? If you want 30,000 cycles per second, all you have to do is decide on what capacitor or else what size coil you want, and then adjust the other to that to get yourself an LC circuit, because there's hardly any resistance. So you can figure that out of the equation, or ignore it, I mean, and just go for the frequency versus the capacitance and the inductance to give yourself an LRC circuit. So something that would resonate at, in my case, 30,000 cycles per second is what I chose to use for this circuit. And, you know, I got this lesson about solar panels back in the 1970s, and I didn't even know it. I thought it was, you know, part of this mystery knowledge, you know, like free energy, but it's not. It's part of solar panel technology, in which this fellow was mentioned in the book called The Secret Life of Plants. And the two authors, co-authors, was Christopher Byrd, B-Y-R-D, and Peter Tompkins or Tiomkins. It might have been Tiomkins. In any case, it was a fantastic book because I was into plants at the time, and it's a big book. It's got a lot of pages to it. It was a paperback, and it was given to me as, I think, a Christmas present, as I recall, by my brother's in-laws. And when I was visiting them in Yuba City. And I took to it like a fish to water. I read, you know, as quickly as I couldn't read it fast enough. I was so fascinated by all of the little anecdotes of unexplainable, anomalous occurrences involving plants. And this one experiment was done by a fellow by the name of Hieronymus Bosch, B-O-S-C-H, Hieronymus Bosch. He put a strip of aluminum sheeting on his roof and a single aluminum wire coming down from the sheeting to his basement, which was pitch black. And he had a trough made or placed in there with potting soil mixed with aluminum shavings. And he planted in there geraniums, and he did not connect the wire to the soil yet. He left it disconnected, and so, is that the way he did it? No, he had the wire connected to the trough, to the soil, making a direct single line open transmission line connection to the soil and the aluminum shavings in it, the moist soil. And the geraniums grew just fine, and then he disconnected the wire and they died. Even though it was pitch black, they turned yellow and died. They were getting all they needed, not from sunlight per se, but from the voltage potential that the sunlight imparts when it falls upon the leaves. Now, we know chlorophyll is centered around, or it surrounds a central atom of magnesium, and magnesium is known to be explosive. When in the movie Journey to the Center of the Earth with Brendan Fraser, he accidentally lights a vein of magnesium on the interior wall of a cave that they're walking through with a solar an emergency flare, and it explodes. And they use that later on in the film to get out of a volcano, the bottom of a volcano tube. But in any case, I'm getting way off topic here. So when sunlight hits the magnesium, it must be quite explosive for the chlorophyll molecule because it probably magnifies the voltage potential. But in the case of copper, it's going to be reduced because it's such a reduced in amplitude of voltage because it's such a good conductor of electricity. It won't build up much voltage because there's no resistance there to build up the voltage, because that's how you get voltage, is through resistance. You build up resistance and you get more voltage. And vice versa. I mean, it works, but it's a bi-directional relationship between resistance and voltage. You get an elevation of one, and you get an elevation of the other as a consequence. It's kind of like a traffic jam on the freeway. So if you've got a lot of voltage, then nothing's going to go anywhere because it's going to stagnate. It's like too many cars on the freeway situation. So it's a bidirectional relationship between voltage and resistance. Of course, it's not usually taught that way, or maybe at all, but I found that out from experience. So when you've got a good conductor such as copper, you're not going to have a whole lot of voltage, but that's not to say you won't have any, you know, because it's just a difference of resistance. And the reduced resistance of copper over a semiconductor material such as a silicon wafer in a solar panel means you're not going to have a whole lot of voltage to a sheet of copper laying in the sun, by comparison to a semiconductor comprising a solar panel laying in the sun. But Hieronymus Bosch basically took the idea of a solar panel, and I guess he knew about it. It was not explained in the book because I guess Christopher Bird and Peter Tompkins didn't know or about the principle, so they didn't want to speculate how it operated. Maybe they weren't electrical engineering scientists to speculate or physicist scientists to speculate the process involved. But now I can see, I can appreciate what the process is. Voltage on a conductor of electricity or falling upon a semiconductor, and regardless, it's going to create a voltage potential of some degree or another, depending on how much resistance is in that conductive material or semiconductive material. So the rubber mats sold by earthing.com to serve as mouse pads, so that when your wrist hits that, you're connected to it and to the earth while you're at the computer. Yeah, that works fine for a desktop, but it doesn't work fine for a laptop. It actually, you end up frying the circuitry of the laptop and destroy it. And I found out the hard way, at least with a Windows XP version, a very old, it fried the circuitry. And it actually did affect, now that I think of it, the desktop eventually, but it took longer for some reason. I guess because the desktop is already grounded. But a laptop is not. For some strange reason, nobody grounds the circuitry of a laptop. So when you get the power cord, it's only got two prongs on it. There's never the third ground prong on the electric outlet cord, you know, for recharging the laptop. They don't bother, and it really, when you touch the metallic touchpad, I fried it, you know, when I grounded myself to the earth. It was a big mistake. Anyway, where was I? Oh, so sunlight on metal is going to create a voltage charge, and that's what's happening with the copper spheres. They're right in front of the headlights of the Amon Brothers car. All he had to do was make use of the charge in the battery, the auxiliary battery under the hood that runs the radio and the headlights and the brake lights and whatnot, the turn signal lights, all those nice lights. All he had to do was turn on the headlights to shine on the copper spheres, and he'd probably have light on the spheres at any time, night or day. You know, he'd have direct sunlight on a sunny day, but at nighttime, what's he going to have, you know? So he probably was able to still see ahead because he wasn't blocking the light. He was just making use of a major portion of it, creating something akin to a solar eclipse, you know, like the moon getting in the way of the sun. So if the headlights are the sun and each copper sphere is a moon or some other satellite, standing in the way of that light, then up ahead it might look like a kind of eclipse situation, a celestial eclipse. In any case, he managed to get light on the spheres at any time of the day or night to create a voltage potential. Now, it is direct, not alternating, but if he had a simple oscillating circuit inside, I could see the possibility that he might be able to create an oscillation, have an oscillating circuit that will give him a sine wave at the frequency that he wants to run his device at an extremely low voltage, which is exactly what we need. We need frequency without any appreciable voltage to speak of by modern standards, but analogous in volume to, or amplitude to, the voltage of the environment, so to speak. I mean, I don't know. It could be millivolts for all I know, or microvolts. Who knows what voltage copper sheeting will produce when you put it in sunlight or a headlight, a car headlight. But it's going to be there. You know, this is not idle speculation on my part. This is science right here. This is just reasoning it out, thinking it through based on what we know about solar panel technology, what it is, what it does, and in relationship to light. So here we have this conversion of light into energy, and it's very low tech. You know, just copper spheres and copper tubing, and you get your voltage. See, I assume the only way to do it was to stretch out a wire to serve as an aerial, a yard-long wire like they used to use on crystal radio sets to get your microvolt. But no, he's getting more than that, possibly, or similar to that. I don't know what he's getting, but it'll be constant. It'll be day or night. So he solved... It sounds like he was a very methodical, thorough person, and he solved all technical problems so that his car would have no problems running any time of the day or night, or starting up in the darkened garage of his home, you know, before he pulled it out of the garage. So he'd be able to tootle around town and get out of the garage in the first place. So he literally solved every single technical problem there could have been. And he did it in the most simple and direct manner possible. And this guy should probably get the credit for inventing solar panels. I don't know who got the credit for inventing solar panels. I need to look that up. But this guy deserves the posthumous credit, because he went, and I, you know, I'm beginning to wonder now if he was not in contact with Tesla and was told, okay, this is my trimetal generator, but don't call it that because I don't want you to be associated with me. I don't want the public to know that I'm behind you, backing you, giving you advice. You know, I would love to think that, right? That they didn't just come up with this thing on their own. In fact, what if he didn't even bother to talk to them? What if this is one of the patents that disappeared during World War II and becoming sequestered under confidentiality, you know, being possessed by the U.S. military? Why not? We know, in a sense, there are several hundred of his patents that have been sequestered under confidentiality. And it would be, you know, if the military took possession of the useful ones that they thought that were of vital national security to their operations, you know, they'd say, okay, fine. So, well, now it's private property of the United States military, and public cannot have access to it anymore. So they privatized several of, decommissioned, shall we say, the public nature of those patents. And brought them back to private status, their ownership. Anyway, I can imagine, you know, that's because, so 1920s or teens, 19-teens would have been the era that, because I think Sierra Leone said he took about 7 years to develop the technology, so that would have been in the teens prior to 1921 when he gave the demonstration in the streets of Denver, Colorado, of their automobile. Anyway, so this is the invention of solar technology, solar panel technology, and because it's a free energy circuit, it doesn't need the voltage, the humongous voltage and current that a modern day technology requires because of our circuitry. It voraciously requires all of that power in order to operate. It's a very stupid style of circuitry that has no artificial intelligence built into it at all. It's pure stupidity for the purposes of making people, certain people, a lot of money off of everybody else having to pay through the nose for energy. God forbid we should have free energy, right? Anyway, but it's so perfect and so simple, because so little voltage is needed to run a free energy circuit. But most people don't know that, right? Because why? Because the United States Patent Office is the biggest, what's it called when you make up knowledge and you spread it around? Even though the Nazis and the Russian communists made a big deal. Popularized it. Everybody does, you know, does it. What's it called when you give out false information in a public manner to brainwash everybody? Oh, it starts with the letter P as in Paul. Oh, isn't it? God, I'm really bad with words right now. I've got a mental block. Anyway, so you get this disinformation being spread around by the U.S. Patent Office, and about, oh, it's a perpetual motion machine because it doesn't run on any energy. No, such a thing doesn't exist. It's a free energy over unity device because it manages to run a very little energy and amplify it to a humongous degree. Yeah, I can't think of the word. Anyway, so they're the biggest liars, because they're an official arm of the United States federal government telling us, your device must be a... Well, that's what they called Joseph Newman. That's what Joseph Newman called it himself, I guess. Perpetual motion. No, they claimed it was a perpetual... They claimed that he claimed it was a perpetual motion machine. Of course, it wasn't. It just had reverse current, recharging the dry cell batteries, rooting them, but showing that he was able to get more electricity out than what he put in, but mostly it was a mechanical gain, not an electrical gain. But anyway, that's a different topic here. So that was my insight. There's really just solar panel technology running the copper spheres. That's what they're for. And that's why they're positioned in front of the headlights, and that's why they're spherical, because they need to pick up the light from the headlights, but they also need to pick up light from the environment during the daytime from all directions. That's why they're spherical, from all directions. And still allow for light to escape around the edges so that they can drive at night and see what they're, see and not bump into things. But get that very necessary electrical charge onto the copper sphere to give them a voltage potential so that they can probably maybe run a simple LC circuit to give them 30,000 cycles per second at some ridiculously reduced level of voltage. But by our conventional standards, but by my standards, it's perfect. It's exactly what a free energy circuit would require. So that's only adds more credibility to the possibility that what I'm dealing with here in this 100-watt light bulb challenge is their circuit. And an extension of, or a renaming of Tesla's trimetal generator to keep that lid on that. This connects all the history together. So, part of this recording is speculative, but part of it is not. The solar panel technology is not. And that's what makes it so intriguing that we got science now here, sitting here, staring us, hidden in plain sight.